What I'd like to run right now, actually, here, let's do this thing. This is one of my recent finds. You know, I've been going through these tapes that I found at the transmitter building. Well, I didn't find them. Felix McDonald, the engineer, from 2000, about 2003, going back to the Eisenhower administration. Felix had told me that they were out there, and I had probably seen them my first trip out the transmitter building about 1989 or 1990, but it didn't really register with me. And then Felix told me, well, Barry, you know, there's a few tapes out here. And I said, well, Felix, yeah, it seems like I kind of remember that. I need to get out there and check some of those out. After Felix bringing that up intermittently over the course of several years, finally, by the summer of 2003, I go out to the transmitter building. I'll meet you out there. And I get out there, and I'm thinking there's going to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 tapes. I get out there, and there is a wall of tapes, approximately from here to about the third sign over and two-thirds up the wall, six shelves deep. I'm going, oh, good Lord, those are hundreds and hundreds of tapes. I love what Felix said right after that. He said, oh, yeah, right behind this wall, there's some more. So for the last 12 years, I've been going through these tapes. I still haven't gotten through all of them. I still have over 100 to go through. They're mostly ads, promos. Some are national ads. Most of them are local. Or in the case of a lot of the movie ads, it's national with local tags on them. And then a lot of news stuff. So I put together a couple of things. They're about 5 minutes long. And I don't know if I'm going to do, I put four different segments together. I think I'm just going to do a couple of them for right now because I want to get Clyde up. And I know that, as Bob indicated, it's where we're pressing, you know, the bewitching hour. But before I get into that, this is also one of my recent finds right here. I still love that. I mean, that's just great. I mean, you just... That's just wonderful. Now, a couple other things I've come across. This was on the last day of April 3rd, 1985, the last day of KAAY. This is one of the very, very few ads. I had been working at KAAY for several months at that point in time. They had hired me. David B. Treadway took pity on my soul and hired me in October of 1984. I was used to seeing a program log full of commercials. Well, on April 1st and 2nd and 3rd, I don't know, there were maybe three commercials per hour because all the contracts had expired at the end of March. But there were a couple of folks who decided to buy some spot time, advertising time on KAAY the last 3 days. And among those would be...
Hi, folks. This is Brother Hal from KLRA Radio in Little Rock. You know, this station, KAAY, has been bought by another party, and they're going to go all religion on Thursday. Well, some of you will be looking for another radio station, and, oh, I'm country, and we believe inviting folks over when they are drifting around. We'd like to have you over our way. 1010 Radio on your AM dial, KLRA.
And somebody else who purchased some time, Mr. Hiblin, will remember this individual right here. Probably not all that fondly, but maybe.
There. I'm Neil Gladner with Charles Davis from News Talk 92, KARN. KARN has the biggest radio news team in the state of Arkansas, and they help us help you get your morning going. Charles and I have news, traffic, weather, sports, interesting features, everything you need in the morning, along with a chance to win cash and prizes from our fun and games department. When we're done, Pat Lynch, Dr. Larry Cole, and Ray Lincoln round out your day. So come on down the AM dial to 92 and KARN.
And I didn't realize Pat had was there in 85. I was thinking this a little bit later. I also remember what I believe Pat had told me a number of years ago. And of course, this is drifting a little bit off of KAY, but it's still a radio thing. And you know, I meander a little bit, especially after a couple of drinks. And that would be that. Now, Pat, you were already at KARN when Neil Gladner showed up. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. He says quite vocally.
Barely.
I. I remember Pat telling me when KAY was bought by Citadel and we moved into the building at Cedar Pine in 2000, that he told me the story of when Gladder was hired, that the late Bob Bice informed Pat about this. I believe they shared an office, Pat and Bob Bice. And Bob Bice let Pat know that, Pat, there's a rather portly fellow in the lobby, and I believe he's the new guy in charge. Do you remember that, Pat?
Vividly.
Well, there's something else here I want to run, because I don't know if some of y'all saw this, but some of the Ray and Ram pictures here. When I first heard Ray Lincoln, I was in junior high, listening, I would go to sleep at night listening to WOAI out of San Antonio. I would wake up the next morning and their signal will still be coming in, and there were these two guys named Ray and Ram. And they were on there for about a year. And well, I graduated high school from Harrison, moved down here in the fall of 77. There's Ray and Ram in Little Rock. And I'm like, oh my God, I listened to these guys 3 and 4 years ago, this station coming out of San Antonio. And I was shocked to find out that they were actually one person. Wait. Well, yeah, they were two people, but they inhabited the same body, yes. Anyway, I want to share this bit from mostly Ram. So, and it's Ram's Ode to a Politician.
6:13, says Lester the time-telling duck. And now, by popular request, here is Ram Land and the Ode to a Politician.
What kind of man is a politician? Well, he has the courage of his connections. He's the best that money can buy. A person who'll do anything on earth for the workers, except become one. His is not an easy road. He must be in good health and agile. It ain't easy to straddle a fence, keep both ears to the ground, and both hands in your pocket all at the same time. If he didn't straddle so many fences, maybe he wouldn't have to spend so much time mending them. Politicians are physical phenomena. They can run while holding their seat. What ain't stomach is head, and that's mostly mouth. He can throw his hat in the ring and talk through it at the same time. He finds out how the people are going, takes a shortcut across the field, gets out in front, and makes them think he is leading all the way. The greatest asset for a politician is sincerity, whether he means it or not. He's a liberal and a conservative. Liberal with your tax dollars, while conserving his. He has a straightforward way of dodging all the issues. For example, if he says he won't dignify a question with an answer, that usually means he ain't had time to think one up. His platform, which he usually dismantles the day after the elections, is what he refers to, he ain't got a leg to stand on, which occurs frequently. He'll stand up, rock the boat, then make you believe he's the only one that can save you from the storm. He knows all answers, so it's during questions that keep causing him trouble. He has the unique ability to foretell the future and then to explain precisely why he knew it wouldn't happen. He shakes your hand before an election and your confidence after. He has refined to an art the ability of obtaining money from the rich and votes from the poor on the pretext of protecting one from the other. Besides that, a politician can't lose. If he succeeds, the rewards are many. And if he should fail, he can always write a bestseller. Besides that, would you want your sister to marry one?
Gosh, I don't even want her voting, really. The Ode to a Politician from Ram Lynn. Thank you, sir.
So, anyway, I'm not sure who it was who came up that audio. That did not come from the KAY tapes. pretty much the KAY tapes ended approximately 1976, which was approximately the same time as the sale from Lynn Broadcasting to Multimedia. Let me do one more little bit right here. This is a combination of a number of different ads, including, as it gets towards the end of it, a couple of sort of blooper reels. A lot of the ads that I found over the last several years, I not only use them on my show that runs on KAY right now called Tin Can Alley, but if there are sort of double takes and triple takes and the announcers, the jocks messing up on them, I go ahead and keep those in. And I put those on the air, so long as there aren't any, as the church lady would say, naughty words. So here are some of the ads, not all with bloopers, but as we get towards the end of this 5.5 minute segment, we have some of that, including what I think is a really great one from Bob and Bill Edwards. So let's do this.
The Razorbacks open the 1973 season Saturday night against Southern Cal from Los Angeles, California. I'm Bud Campbell, inviting you to join us on the Razorback Network Saturday at 9:15.
Hi, this is Jimmy Dean, and I would like to say that it's a particular pleasure to be bringing you Razorback football. It'll be coming to you right on this station, brought to you by Jimmy Dean's Pure Pork Sausage. And we hope that you'll enjoy Razorback football, and by all means, enjoy some Jimmy Dean sausage. Thank you.
Folks, we've got the singingest, dancingest, laughingest country in the world, and we've got the best drink to go with it all. This is Jerry Reed inviting you to grab a Coke and come on along.
Look up America, see what we got. We got a million lives for laughing. More bells to ring, yeah, more songs to sing.
Hi, folks, this is Marvin Vines. You know, I talk to you a lot about agriculture, markets, and so forth, but today I want to visit with you about mobile homes.
From Toy Hill, the Sonny Martin Toys for Tots Marathon.
K-A-A-Y, Little Rock.
Great entertainment comes your way today at 12 noon when Bob Hicks and Mary Connell bring you Eye on Arkansas. So for a delightful half hour of lunchtime enjoyment, watch Arkansas's number one noontime variety show, Eye on Arkansas, live and in quality color each weekday at 12 noon on Channel 11, KTHV Little Rock.
There will be a breakfast for Brooks Hayes at the Hotel Marion Ballroom this Thursday morning at 7:30 called Sing Along with Brooks with Mitch Miller. The breakfast is $10 per plate. Call the Brooks Hayes headquarters at Franklin 6-3073. The preceding political announcement paid for by Ed Lester, co-campaign chairman.
Yeah, we'll start from the beginning. No, it's all right. I need to practice. Okay, you ready? Another 30 for First Federal Savings. Bob Hauer of First Federal. You know, many people aren't covered by a retirement plan, and if you're one of them, First Federal's individual retirement account is the answer.
Can you tell me what radio station you listen to?
KAY.
I'm Sonny Martin, the cash man. You just won yourself $10.90.
Really?
Yeah, what's your name?
Angela Cochran.
Can you roll the window down a little more?
I don't believe you. I don't believe it.
You from around here?
I live in Roland.
Live in Roland, Arkansas. Here is a check for $10.90.
George, I had to really crush my way through the crowds to get here. You surely are crowded for a Sunday.
Yeah, we are, George. Everybody's in here taking advantage of our super-duper specials.
Super-duper specials. What kind?
Well, we've got our 18-inch blacklight tube and fixture for $10 today.
Now, that's the super special. What about the duper special?
Well, the duper is our waterbed. You know, George, if you've had a backache or any kind of back trouble, our waterbed is a special every day of the week, and it's only $19.95.
Hi there, this is Sonny Martin, and I'll be at Pfeiffer Blast Tire Center 9th and Main this coming weekend with great tire bargains and buys. Why don't you join me? And don't forget to bring your car.
Stand by. You're about to have your eye on action. News that's live, happening now.
That's really great.
Stand by. You're about to have your eye on action. News that's live, happening now. I'll never make it as a top 40 jock.
Okay, stand by.
Ladies and gentlemen, celebrate the 4th with fireworks from Arnold's Parnell's Farnell's.
Let's go. Next.
Wow, bam, boom. Celebrate the 4th with fireworks from Arnold's. Arnold's Fireworks Stands throughout Arkansas sell quality fireworks that sizzle, pop, sparkle, and boom, Batman, every time you light them. Buy Arnold Fireworks in Pulaski County on Highway 365 North, just past the city limits, and at Crystal Hills Road, East Roosevelt, and Forshey Dam Pike, General Sam Mule Road on Highway 107. Forsh, is that right?
All right, stand by.
Mary, do you take this man as your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
John, do you take this woman as your lawfully wedded wife?
No.
But?
No.
But?
Not without flowers from Jean's Florist and Bridal Shop, now open at 10,020 Rodney Parham Road, and they've got a store in the Village Shopping Center.
You should have thought of this earlier, my son. Jean's also handles arrangements for the wedding.
Well, I know, and they've got a big grand opening in their brand new location this week. They're giving away free, with no purchase necessary, gift certificates for floral arrangements to be given away Saturday.
My son, you should have stopped by. My son, you should have stopped by 10,200. My son, you should have.
Come on, stop by. Come on.
Hello, this is Bob Robin.
And Bill Edwards.
And if Sonny and George can do it, we can do it too.
And where?
No.
Okay.
Hello, this is Bob Robin.
And Bill Edwards.
And if Sonny and George can do it, we can do it too.
Where? Park Plaza,
no,
Tuesday.
You're off the thing, man.
Shit.
You know, at First Federal Savings. Right, Bob. First Federal Savings and Loan in Park Plaza, Tuesday. And I'm going to say, what are we going to be there for? You know, okay?
Hello, this is Bob Robin.
And Bill Edwards.
And if Sonny and George can do it, we can do it too.
Right.
What are we going to do?
We're going to be in Park Plaza on Tuesday.
Where?
Park Plaza.
No, where? First Federal, dumbass.
Hello, this is Bob Robin.
And Bill Edwards.
And if Sonny and George can do it, we can do it too.
That's right.
What are we going to do?
We're going to be at First Federal in Park Plaza this coming Tuesday.
How come?
We want everyone to come out and vote.
Eh, register to vote.
All right, this is it.
Oh, you better be.
Baker Street, heavy, heavy underground. I'm O'Brien. Join me tonight on Clear Channel, KAAY, Little Rock.
And for some reason, out of all the audio I've come across, I've not found a Beaker Street promo with Clyde. How long did this O'Brien guy do it? Don't know. It was. But I figured that'd be appropriate time running that promo with some guy who did it for a few months, maybe a year, probably less, to go ahead and get Clyde Clifford up here.
Well, the reason you never heard anything with me on it was because most of those were Phil Rowe. He did most of those things. Phil was pretty top-of-the-line production guy. He did some fantastic things, and later on he was doing Men's Warehouse, some things like that. I really don't have a whole lot to say, except I feel like I'm among family. It's really weird how I ended up in radio. I was a 16-year-old kid driving a tractor out on the farm and got interested in ham radio. And somehow ended up getting a first-class phone license and got told that Felix McDonald needed somebody to take vacation transmitter shifts. And so that's exactly what I did. And then I got bit by the announcer bug. And we were talking earlier about the elegantly appointed Blue Goose and Howard Watson, you know, the all that stuff over the... First time I went on the air was KTHV at the when the studio was at KTHV. That's how far back I go. And there were tales of... Oh, when the night jocks, I don't remember which one this was, but who was it that got the control room turned off a number of times because he was interfering with the newscast? I don't remember who that was, but it was a late night jock, and they turned the control room off on him. Anyway, like I said, I ended up getting into this thing, just sort of walked into it blind, and it's been the most fun and the most rewarding thing I could imagine doing with my life. And like I said, I feel like I'm with family, and I feel like I'm with brothers and sisters, people who really matter, people who really make a difference in how the other folks on the other side of the radio feel. And I'm like Sonny and Bob, I really feel sorry for the people that are in this current era that don't really know how much fun, what a blast, what a rewarding thing radio really is. It's an amazing medium, and I just sort of mourn it. I'm kind of like, I know that one of the reasons David B. is not here tonight is because he's kind of traumatized by seeing the state of the transmitter. And that's kind of what I feel like the state of radio is these days. So I can tell you there were a lot of fun things happen. I wish I had kept a journal. I didn't. And that's really sad because there's so many fun things that happened late at night that just sort of come to you, you know? I think maybe last time I told the tale of Tommy Riggs coming out to the transmitter and going out to commune with the radio spirit out at the base of the tower. The night there was lightning in the area and the ark hung in the ark gap at the base of the tower. And he was out there where little glass B.P. Williams' headstone still is. And there was red paint on the headstone. And it flashed. And Tommy weighed about 350 pounds about that time. And he made it back from the base of that tower in about 10 seconds flat. And I have no idea why he didn't have a heart attack. And then there was the time Marvin Vines was sighting in his deer rifle out there toward the towers. We had a hole in the feed line that year, and that took us off the air for a little bit. Not nearly as bad as having somebody take the feed line out, but guys, I don't know what else to say except I love all of you. Frank Woods. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
The man who had the news shut down. Bob Roberts should remember his name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Frank Woods.
Frank Woods. Sonny, do you remember, I believe it was Melvin Mitchell. Melvin Mitchell was a janitor.
Yeah, I think he eloped with the lovely Juanita Beasley.
I do remember he scared the living daylights out of Tommy Riggs one time.
Yeah.
This was about 65 or 66. We had the long, hot summer, and, you know, it was kind of racially tight that year. And I don't remember exactly what the deal was, and this is why I say I wish I had kept a journal. But I do remember that Tommy was in the studio for some reason. I think he was on the air, and Melvin popped out of the woodwork somehow and scared the living daylights out of Tommy Riggs. It was just amazing the things that happened. And the other one was Howard Watson was Ken Knight, later to be Lynn Day. And then after that, we had another Ken Knight.
The all-night satellite,
Mr. Pitcock, Jerry Pitcock. Pard? Yeah, just bring a chocolate cake and that'll be fine. He worked the phones, man. He really did. I don't know where that boy put all those chocolate cakes. But he did. He had a tendency, Jerry was a production guy, and he was producing in the afternoons before he came on the air. He was in the afternoon and evening. And he would go down to the corner drugstore. We were right across from the Capitol building, and there was a corner drugstore down there, and he'd go down and buy a bag of penny candy munch on candy all night long. And one night, he walked down to the store as he was wont to do, and he came back, and there was this guy kind of walking across the Capitol lawn. It was kind of a, I think it was a hobo from the trains down there. So Jerry, who was a strange individual to begin with, started chasing this guy back across the Capitol lawn, throwing penny candy at him. The guy takes one look at this crazy 6 foot tall guy running toward him, throwing penny candy, and heads back the other way. So Jerry's running across the lawn, throwing penny candy. The guy's running back around toward the Capitol steps and ducks around behind the Capitol steps. Jerry comes around the Capitol steps too, and there's the guy again. But this time he's got a motorcycle chain out. And he starts chasing Jerry. And Jerry's running back across the Capitol lawn. The guy's behind him. Jerry's going, "Hey, chain man, chain man, chain man." Riggs was on the air at this time. So he runs around the back of the building, hits the back door, gets inside just about the time the guy gets there, runs through the control room, hides under the newsroom desk. Riggs puts on a long record and comes around there and pries him out from under the desk, and all he can say is, "Chain man, chain man." Riggs finally gets, you know, the gist of the story from him. And everything is, you know, peaceful. Jerry goes on the air, and about, 9 o'clock, Riggs calls and does his little old lady voice. He said, "There's this man up there on the roof on your building. He's up there working on the air conditioner, I think. He's got this big long chain." And then you hear a 45 going scratch, scratch, scratch. Riggs listens for a few minutes and realizes he drives in from North Little Rock all the way to the studio. Scratch, scratch. Goes in the control room. No Riggs. I mean, no Pitcock. He's in there at the desk again in the newsroom. Fun games. And this was some of the things that didn't happen at midnight. This is some of the things that happened during the early evening. Once again, I really, really enjoy getting together with you folks. Like I said, you're family. And...
Well, you're family to us. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, I've been listening to you since I was a little black.
Well, the thing that I probably feel most honored about was being asked by the guys to be the last one on the air when it was sold.
Yeah.
That, I think that's probably the most signal honor I'll ever have. So, thank you guys. And as Tiny Tim said, God bless us, everyone.